Today's Bible reading is Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys.
Morning, everyone. Can I invite the kids to the front, please? If you're a big kid but you want to come to the front, that's cool too. All right. We're going to pray together. Just while you're making your way down, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us in the Lord Jesus and that nothing can take us away from you because of your great love and your great power to keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in today's Bible passage, open my eyes and Owen's there, that's great. can you remember what we did last time? Remember with Moses? Who's right here, whose face was shining, and the people were all scared of Moses because he was reflecting God's glory. Well, in today's passage, true story from the Bible, God comes in the cloud and descends on the tabernacle. So he goes down over the tabernacle, and his glory is there. And it's so glorious that Moses can't even go inside. You know, Moses, who was right there with God in his presence earlier, can't even go inside the tabernacle at this point because of God's glory in the cloud. Then when God continues to be present in the Bible, we see when they build the temple, when Solomon builds the temple, God's presence comes down in glory, just like it did there. Then can you think of any other time when God's presence, or God himself, came down? Can you think of any time where God came down? Owen, can you think of any time when God came down? Yeah, that's right. Yes, Jesus came down, and Jesus is God, and he is the exact representation of his being. You see, Jesus is God, and he came down, to save us. And then when he went back up to heaven after he died and risen, he sent his Spirit. So we now have God's Spirit living in us. God, in his great love, has come to make his home in our hearts. Isn't that amazing? You know, Moses couldn't enter the tabernacle because of how glorious the appearance of God was at that moment. He wasn't able to come in. He couldn't go inside. Now God has come inside us, and that's because of his great love. So let's thank him for that. All right, please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in your great love, you have come to make your home in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this world that you made. Thank you for dying for us and rising again that we can be right with you. And thank you for sending your Spirit. And thank you that you will never leave us nor abandon us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you.
All right. If you could please turn to that Exodus passage in your Bibles, that'd be excellent. Exodus chapter 40. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to gather and be encouraged by you. And thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you are present in us and with us. And thank you, Lord, that you did come down in glory on the tabernacle. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come down in glory in Christ. Thank you that we have access to you in him. And so we come this morning boldly coming to you, not because of anything that we've done, not because of anything we've earned, but because of you, because of your glory and grace, because of who you are and what you've done for us, because of your love for us. So we come, Lord, and we pray this morning that as we examine the truths of your word, that you would indeed encourage us, that you would build us up, that you would equip us, that we might go out into another week ready to love you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are coming to the end of an era here because we're finishing the book of Exodus, which is what we're doing today. So we've been working our way through Exodus, and it'll be helpful, you don't have to do this right now, but to take some time and reflect on what we've learnt as we've been reading the book of Exodus. I mean, there are many things that stand out, things like God's name, Yahweh, and the significance of his name, and of the people of Israel knowing his name, of the people of Egypt knowing his name, of the fame and glory of his name going out. There are various other things we've seen, like when we looked at the Ten Commandments and we saw, we saw the love of the Lord and how it looks to live in light of that love. We've also seen the Lord awesomely rescue his people from slavery in Egypt, and how that points forward to Christ. So this final bit here in Exodus is an interesting passage today that we're looking at, because it builds upon the finishing of the tabernacle. So we'll have a look at that quickly. And then it focuses on the glory, the glory-filled tabernacle, which points to the glorious Christ. And then it talks about the Lord leading and the Lord being present with us. So there's essentially 4 points that we're looking at today. The first one being the tabernacle's completed, the second one being the glory-filled tabernacle, the third one being the Lord leads, and the final one being the Lord is present. All right, have a look with me at verse 16. So this is a little bit before what we looked at today. This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. This is in the context of talking about the tabernacle. And then a bit further down, verse 33, and he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. And if you have a read of that passage sometime, you'll see that it just really emphasizes that Moses did according to the commandment of the Lord. If you've read some of Exodus or are familiar with it, that seems quite surprising given how many times the people of Israel did not do according to the commandment of the Lord. So this is a very encouraging passage telling us what Moses has done here, accomplishing the building of the tabernacle by the grace of the Lord, and it's being done according to the commandment of the Lord. And so it shows that the tabernacle is completed the way that the Lord intended for it to be. And we know that because he comes down. Have you ever watched the show Come Dine With Me? Anyone seen that? It's few people, that's great. Essentially, people go and have a dinner party at someone's house, the stranger's house, and then they rank one another's food. And it's quite funny. My family actually did that one time, which was fun. I would recommend that. That was, is it right if I say what? Okay. Dad said that Mum's chicken was dry in the videos afterwards, which was very funny. So anyway, I like my chicken dry. If it's moist, I think it's undercooked. I'm colorblind, so I can't tell if it's pink. So, so there was this one guy on this one episode. I don't know why I watched it so many times, but his name was Ed Curno. I think he was from Wales or somewhere there. And he was like, whenever he liked something, he'd say, "That's got the Ed Curno seal of approval that has." And it was just like, that was what he said. And anytime he liked something. And so the tabernacle doesn't have the Ed Curno seal of approval, but it does have the Lord's seal of approval. And we know that because he descends on it in glory. We know that he is pleased with how that work has been completed, and he's coming down filling it. So we have great encouragement there that the tabernacle has been completed to the Lord's commands. So what an encouraging backdrop that is. Now we get to the glory-filled tabernacle. And this is structured, this passage has a number of things that are repeated. If you read it, you'll see, that line's repeated there, it's repeated there. And there's usually something in the middle. I must have been hungry when I was writing this sermon, because the next illustration I've got is about sandwiches. And so if you think about that, you've got bread and bread, and then you've got something in the middle. And so here you've got on the one at the start, you've got the cloud covering the tent of meeting. After that, you've got the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle. So I'll just read to you a little bit. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So can you see how there's like it mirrors itself? So it's got the cloud coming down talks about that, talks about the glory of the Lord descending on the tent of meeting. Then it talks about in the middle, Moses not being able to enter. We hear about the cloud again and the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle. So in the middle of that section is Moses not being able to enter in. And surrounding the whole thing is talk of the Lord's glory. God has come in glory, descending here, and Moses, even Moses, can't go in. And I mean, that's surprising. You know, when we've seen so far, Moses has been the one who's been able to be there with the Lord. You know, say for instance, when he was on the mountain, and we had Owen kindly come down. Well, not a mountain, but you know, for the purposes of the illustration, he did. Moses' face was shining. He was given amazing access to being with the Lord. And yet here, even Moses isn't able to go in to the tabernacle. And we might be thinking, what's going on there? And then when you remember that Exodus isn't just a standalone book, it fits in the bigger, broader context of the Bible. And you think, what comes next? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And you think, what is Leviticus all about? Sacrifice. And it starts to make sense. Even Moses, yes, Moses needs to be covered by sacrifice. All of us sinful people need to be covered by sacrifice in order to be right with the Lord and be in his presence. And so it sets us up really well for Leviticus. The other point that I wanted to draw our attention to is in 1 Kings 8, 9 to 11. When the temple was completed, there's very similar language used about the glory of the Lord filling it and the priests being unable to enter. So I'll read to you from 1 Kings 8, 9 to 11. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So we have again a reminder of God's glory. And even the priests couldn't go in to the house of the Lord at that time because the Lord had filled it in his glory. In the New Testament, we hear of the all-glorious Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in Jesus, we see the one who is God himself come in glory. Just as God himself descended upon the tabernacle in glory in the Old Testament, we see Jesus who is full of grace and truth, the truly glorious God himself, come to this world, take on flesh, become a human. And so he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We get to see God when we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the all-glorious God. Colossians 1, 18 to 20 talks about his fullness. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, supreme, above all. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus is the all-glorious God who took on flesh. Jesus is the fullness of God. In him, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. And in Jesus, God reconciles creation to himself through the cross. The Leviticus system points to sacrifice. Jesus' blood is the ultimate sacrifice. He's paid our debt in full. And the reason for the next point that we have here, which is from Ephesians 3, 11 to 13. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. We have access in Christ to God himself. Jesus has paid our debt in full. There's nothing left to pay. We're not coming offering sacrifices. You know, communion's not a sacrifice. Jesus has paid the sacrifice. That's already done. We're coming here rejoicing in him and in his completed work. And that means we come not sheepishly, but boldly. It's quite astonishing, isn't it, when you think about the fact that Moses couldn't enter into the tabernacle, and yet God calls us to come boldly to himself. We come boldly to this great and glorious God. Why? Well, he has invited us, and because he's made it possible. You see, Jesus has done everything to make it possible for us to be right with God, to come to him boldly. So we don't need to be afraid to come to God. Yes, we fear the Lord, but we're not afraid to come to him. It's a kind of fear that we have of him that we draw near to him. He's awesome. He's glorious. He's holy. And he's loving and kind and welcoming to us. Maybe some of us forget how truly glorious God is. It's very easy to do, isn't it? And it's helpful to be reminded of how great and awesome he really is. Others of us may forget how gracious he is. Or maybe we forget both of those things at different times. But God is truly glorious and he's truly gracious. And he's inviting us to himself. And now in Christ, we have access to him. And we have his presence in us by his Spirit, which we'll get to more in our fourth point. So Moses couldn't even enter into the tabernacle. The priests couldn't even enter into the temple. Jesus came. He is the ultimate temple. And then he has made us temples of him by his Holy Spirit. Praise God for his grace. The next bit that we're going to look at is verses 36 to 38, which talks about throughout all their journeys. You'll see that repeated. I'll read it to you. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So similarly to the previous one, we've got throughout all their journeys being repeated. We've got the cloud, and we've got the tabernacle, and we've also got mention of the fire. So we're going to look at two points here. The first one is the Lord leads. The second one is the Lord's abiding presence. The Lord leads and the Lord's abiding presence. And as we look at this, I want to ask, do you ever feel like you want to live a life of purpose and meaning? Do you feel like you want to do something that's worthwhile? Do you ever wonder what we're here for? Why we're here? What we're supposed to be doing with our lives? What can we do to actually use our lives in a way that is worthwhile? Well, here we see the Lord leading the people of Israel. And now in Christ and by his Spirit, he leads us today. The passage here talks about the cloud being taken up and the people setting out. It also talks about the cloud coming down and the people settling there. So you've got the cloud goes up, the people go out, the cloud settles, the people stay there. And until the cloud goes again, they stay there. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of the grand old Duke of York, who had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and he marched them down again. When they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down. And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down. The last bit doesn't really fit, but the bit about when the cloud was up, they were off. When the cloud was down, they settled down. That fits. And I think that's helpful for us to remember. The Lord was showing them where to go. He had a clear plan to get them to the land that he'd promised them. And he took them the way that he was going to take them to that land. And he led them by the cloud. So they didn't have to wonder, where should I go? Because the Lord made it very clear to them. He would show them visibly by his presence where they were to be. And he led them to the promised land. And if you keep reading in the Bible, you will see the Lord lead his people to the promised land. The Lord continues to lead us today. He hasn't abandoned us. He continues to be present with us. And he leads us. The Holy Spirit lives within all of his people, within all of Christ's people, and he leads us to himself. He leads us to worship Christ. He leads us to love him. He leads us to bear fruit. You know, you can read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. He produces these things in us. He leads us to Christ. And as he leads us to Christ, he makes us more like Christ. We know where we're going. We're going to an eternal promised land. prepared in heaven for us by the Lord Jesus himself. That's where he's taking us. That's our destination. And he's bringing us there by his Spirit. And as he does that, he's continuing to shape and fashion us more and more into the image of Christ. He's working us into to transform us into his image. The Lord who led the people of Israel out of slavery to Egypt led them to the promised land. Now, the Lord who's led us out of slavery to sin is leading us to the eternal promised land in Christ. So do you find yourself looking for direction, wondering, what do I do with my life? How can I use my life in a way that is honoring to the Lord and loving to him? Well, look to the Lord to lead you. And if you don't know how, get to know him. Read his word. Hear his voice as he speaks in his word, that you may discern what is of God and what is not of God. There are many things in our world that claim to be of God. We weigh them up against the scriptures and see whether they are or not, and discern. Sometimes the Lord closes a door. You know, have you ever had this experience where you're driving somewhere and you take the wrong turn? I think I have that experience more than most people. Or maybe just people just don't like talking about it. But anyway, sometimes I've thought to myself, I wonder why the Lord in his sovereign will didn't want me to go that way today. You know, perhaps there was a reason why. And I might be looking at it thinking, oh no, I'm going to be 3 minutes later than I would have been. But maybe there was a reason why the Lord in his sovereign will didn't want me to take that particular turn. And I think that there are many times like that where we reflect on our lives, we look back in hindsight and we go, wow, the Lord was leading through all of those different things. I might not have seen all of it. I might not have understood all of it. But now that I look back, I know by his gracious, kind presence, he was closing the wrong doors and opening the right ones, leading me where he wanted me. And that's his gracious will in our lives. He does that for us. And so praise be to God for that. And as we get to know the Lord, as we study the scriptures and we get to know more of who he is, of his character, we have more of an understanding of where he's leading us. Because if you reflect on the reality that the Lord is gracious and kind, that he wants all people to be saved and no one to perish, those sorts of things, you reflect on that, and that shapes you as a person, fashions you into the image of Christ. You have much greater ability to discern where the Lord is leading you or not. Let's move on to his abiding presence. So you'll notice that the cloud in that verse 38 and 37, continues to be present. Earlier in Exodus, you might remember the Lord saying, I'm not going to go up in your midst. And the disastrous word that was, and how the people recognized that as a disastrous word. And they'd realized, oh no. They realized what they'd done in rejecting him and their utter dependence on him. And here we see that God in his grace is going to be present amongst his people and in their midst. It's because of his grace that he's present with them. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But God in his great love chooses to be present in the midst of his people. We see that here with Israel, and we see that fulfilled in Christ by the Spirit. Now, I don't know exactly where you're at this morning, but you might be coming into this morning feeling abandoned by others, or feeling rejected, or like you're on your own, or an outcast, or something like that. Or perhaps you know someone who feels that way. Or you look back on your life and you can see a time and remember when you did feel that way, and you felt like there was no one else there. I remember at different times growing up, you know, feeling like, oh, do I even have any friends and stuff like that? And feeling really cut up about those sorts of things. And it's hard. Many of us will experience things like that in our lives, feelings of abandonment, feelings of who's there? Who's with me through all of this? But the wonderful thing that we have in the Lord is his abiding presence. And he promises to never leave us or forsake us. we're going to let one another down. You know, in many ways, we're sinful people, aren't we? We continue to fall short, and we're not always going to be able to be there for one another. We're not perfect at it. But the one who is able to be there for us always is the Lord. And he promises to be there with us. So if you feel like you're on your own this morning, or if you feel like you're on the outer, then I want to encourage you that the Lord is here, and he wants to be filling you. He wants to be encouraging you. That's what he wills. And he loves you, and we love you, and we want to see you encouraged as we are all encouraged in him. Because we all need that, don't we? I mean, you look around at this world, we are bombarded by information. I've sometimes thought about this. You know, you think about 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, people were writing some serious books. I mean, they spent some time. They seemed to have all this time. You know, they wrote stacks of books. I mean, some people still write a lot of books. Darren's laughing. Maybe he's got a book on the go. Sign me up for a coffee. He's got two. All right. See ya. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing about that in Darren's download. Maybe you could sell some to the elders who are coming next week. Anyway, when we consider the fact that we have the same amount of time as people in years gone by, yet it feels like it's just evaporating. Do you ever feel that? Do you feel like, oh, where's the time gone? You know, we wake up and it feels like a blink of an eye we're going to sleep again. We somewhere in there is screen time and various other things and the internet, and we're constantly surrounded by technology and information. We have better access to information than any generation that's gone before us. I asked AI to make a spreadsheet the other day. I was like, what? Like, this would have taken me ages. I guess I could have emailed my dad, but the point being, the technology that we have is so advanced and so capable of doing different things, and we have access to so much information that we have information overload, whether it's trying to choose something to watch on Netflix, or whether it's trying to discern what news article is real, or, you know, if they really have the secret that all physicians don't want you to know. trying to understand in the midst of a sea of random, bizarre information can be very difficult. But the Lord has given us all that we need in him and in his word to be able to discern. And he's with us through it all. You know, we may feel like we're not good enough. We may feel like we could never make a helpful contribution. We might feel like everyone's abandoned us. It looks like everyone's having a great time. It looks like everything's going well for everyone else but me. And we can feel in a really dark, heavy place. And the Lord doesn't necessarily stop those feelings straight away. He doesn't necessarily take those feelings away. He doesn't even necessarily change those circumstances immediately. But he is with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen.